Meanwhile, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been this gorgeous, gorgeous September, this beautiful time. So much happening. The leaves are starting to turn cool at night, reminding us that time is passing. Harvest moon on Thursday, time to bring in the pumpkins and the squash, the tomatoes all being brought in. The birds are migrating, sitting out in the birch tree, singing to us on their way south, geese passing overhead. The gospel last week was the parable of the 90 and 9 and the shepherd who goes to search for the one lost sheep, leaving the 90 and 9 behind in the fold. Pastor Liz preached with great fervor to the point where she actually used a couple of swear words, which really, really snapped people's attention to. People were thinking about it down in the fellowship hour, where the cookies that the high schoolers had baked were a little flat because they'd forgot to put in the baking powder, but they had quadrupled the amount of ginger in the cookies, and they just made your mouth buzz as you ate them. People moving around, out moving around, people busy, people getting rid of dead plants and cleaning up their lawns, people busy. There was a bear who came into town among the many exciting things this last week. Arlene Bunsen was digging up her flower bed, and she heard kind of a snort and a grunt, and she thought it was Clarence who was wondering when supper would be ready, and she turned to tell him that it would be ready soon, and here was a black bear sitting about 10 feet away, just sitting on its hind haunches. She was holding a shovel, but she didn't threaten the bear with it. She just simply looked up in the sky. And she sang, "Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope in years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure." And as she did it, she walked slowly to the back door. The bear had never been sung to, perhaps. The bear did not move. She called up Gary and Leroy, the town marshals, and she said, "There's a bear." And yes, they said, "We're aware of that. We're tracking him. We've called DNR. DNR said they could send a man up to shoot the bear with a dart, an anesthetic, and knock him out and carry him away in a truck 100 miles, but it would cost $1,350, and who was going to pay for this? So they assigned Daryl Tollerud to follow the bear around on his motorcycle. The bear did not much care for the motorcycle, so the bear kept lumbering through town and followed by Daryl. That was kind of the bear warning system. And meanwhile, the town council convened to discuss who would pay for this $1,350 to get. It was a very interesting debate. Eventually, the bear wound up out in Hanson's and was feasting off their compost pile. And Mr. Hanson came in from the field driving the tractor and pulling a wagon loaded with pumpkins and did not see the bear until the last minute and then slammed on the brakes. And the pumpkins flew off the wagon and the bear looked up and here came 100 pumpkins rolling towards him. The bear had never been attacked by vegetables before and took off running and has not been seen ever since. But it was an interesting debate, and we sort of miss that bear. We wish he would come back. We were in need of a crisis. The interventionists were arguing against the laissez-faire people, and the interventionists were saying, "What if he attacked a child? Is a human life not worth $1,350? How could we live with ourselves if we didn't do something to defend our children?" The laissez-faire people said, "Teach your children to watch where they're going." The world is full of bears. We cannot spare our children any contact with any sort of hostile force. Warn your children. Keep an eye out. Don't look at your shoes. Look ahead. It was an interesting argument because both sides were right. And how often do you get an argument like that where you get two people, two sides, arguing furiously, and each of them is absolutely right, and they disagree completely, and they despise each other? It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We can't wait for another bear to come. We might leave some garbage out, just hoping to attract one, just so we can continue that. The ACT test was given up at the high school auditorium this morning, 8 o'clock this morning. Our high school seniors took this crucial test, which their parents have been trying to get them to study for the last 3 months. Please, this could determine your future. We paid $25 for this study CD. We paid $30 for this study book. Open it. Open it. Don't sit there watching videos. Practice a little delayed gratification, for heaven's sake. This could make the difference for you between getting a good education and rising up through the layers of society and getting yourself a good job so you can find yourself a good house that's carpeted and find a late model car and be able to go to Puerto Rico in the winter, as opposed to traveling around the country in boxcars and sleeping in cardboard boxes in the weeds and spending your winter in Del Rio, Texas. I mean, there's a difference between these two things. And the kids just looked at him and said, uh-huh, right. I know. And went right back to what they were doing. No, it was a terrible moment in parenting. A terrible... Marilyn Tollerud woke up late Thursday night, and she could hear voices in the living room. It was her daughter, Arielle, who was watching a comedy, a video that she's seen dozens of times before, instead of studying for the ACT test. 8 o'clock this morning, they came into the auditorium. Our children allowed 3 pencils, no cell phones, no books, no nothing, no purses, no packages. And they collected the tests at 1 o'clock. Terrifying for parents. What will happen to our children? We think about this 5 times a day. Some of us think about it 10 times a day. There is no answer to that question. No good answer. We think about it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day when they come back from school and they throw their backpacks down on the floor and they come into the kitchen and they smell ginger cookies and they smell pot roast in the oven and gravy and potatoes, and they come in, our beloved children. The windows are open, the birds are singing in the birch tree. It's getting dark outside, it's getting dark, and this sweet, sweet breeze is blowing in through the windows. What a fabulous time of year. How lucky we are. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.